Welcome to Wannabe Clutter-Free, formerly Wannabe Minimalist, the podcast for busy families who are tired of the chaos, fed up with being overwhelmed, and ready to enjoy life again. Each week, we talk about how to let go of the clutter so that you can focus on the things that actually matter. And it's not just physical clutter. We talk about the mental and emotional stuff too, because if it's holding you back, it's time to ditch it. I share what I've done in my own life to declutter, organize, and calm the chaos, but you won't just hear it from me. There are amazing guests too. It's practical, doable, and simple for those of us that want to be clutter-free. Do you wish you could find an educational podcast that your kids actually want to listen to and you enjoy too? Well, you're in luck. Mysteries About True Histories, affectionately known as Math, is a weekly show full of time travel, puzzles, hidden equations, history, and lots of laughs. We listened to a few episodes, and not only did our daughter want to listen to more next time we're in the car, I found myself chuckling too. Every episode follows two best friends, Max and Molly, who work together to solve riddles and math equations during their time-traveling adventures. You're transported to moments in ancient history like Pythagoras' ancient Greece, the era of the Aztecs, Sir Isaac Newton's England, and more. Plus, they do a great job of teaching math theory without it being boring, complicated, or overly childish. And that can't be easy, but it's not really a surprise considering Mysteries About True Histories is from the creators of the hit podcast Who Smarted, Brain Games on Nat Geo and Disney Plus, and Brainchild on Netflix. Episodes drop every Thursday, and since they are about 15 minutes, they are the perfect length for kids ages 6 and up. Turn your next car ride, break time, or bedtime into math time with so much laughter that your kiddos won't even realize how much they're learning. So tune in to Mysteries About True Histories with your kids on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your pods. Well, hey there, my friend. Welcome back to the show. My name is Deanna Yates, and you are listening to episode 202 of the Wannabe Clutter-Free podcast. What do you do when you are facing an unexpected challenge that you are nearly powerless to change? That's what I'm discussing with my guest this week. When Stephen was told his son was going blind, he had a couple choices. One, give up and go negative, or two, he could use his grit to work on finding a path to a cure. I think you can guess which path he is choosing, but we talked today about his journey, what they chose to do as a family, there's a twist there that might surprise you, and how he's been guiding his family with both strength and vulnerability. I think today you're going to come away with a really interesting perspective on what to do when life throws us curveballs or gives us something challenging in our way. And I really am excited for what you're going to learn through this episode. So could you please share with me what your takeaways are? Come hit me up on Instagram. I'm at Wannabe Clutter-Free over there. You can also find me on Facebook or in our community at the Wannabe Minimalist Family Group on Facebook. Come on over and let me know. You can also send me an email, Deanna@WannabeClutterFree, if that is your preferred way to communicate. I would just be really interested to hear what you think about this conversation and how Stephen's overcoming the adversity in his life. And if you enjoy what you hear, can you do me a quick favor and share this episode with someone who might resonate with the message from today? Or you can also share it via a review or a rating on whatever app you are using to listen to this episode. Just know that I appreciate you and I'm excited that you are here today listening to this show. So let's learn a little bit more about my guest today. Stephen Johnston is a father, radiologist, nonprofit founder, and Ironman athlete. When he found out that his 9-year-old son Luke was going blind as a result of a rare disease, he founded Race Against Blindness to fund sight-saving research for his son and thousands of others just like him. Though Stephen is relatively new to the nonprofit world, he is a man on a mission to raise $1 million for a clinical trial and taking on challenges like Ironman to raise money and be an example for his son. So far, they've raised over six figures, been featured on GoodMorningAmerica.com and the Dan Carity, If I'm Being Honest podcast, and had TV spots in multiple major markets. Stephen lives outside of Phoenix and spends his spare time training for his next Ironman and traveling with his family to create lifelong sighted memories for Luke. We talk all about his adventures with his family, and I think there's a few twists along the way, so I'm excited for you to hear it. Give it a listen and then check out the show notes for links to all of his information and where you can also get involved. Well, hi, Stephen. How are you doing today? Welcome to Wannabe Clutter-Free.
Yeah, I'm doing very well. It's a pleasure to be here. How are you doing?
Oh my gosh, I am doing great. Today's conversation is going to be a little bit of a different take, I think, normally than we have on the show, but I'm excited to get into it. We have a slightly interesting connection you don't know about, so I'm going to tell you. We don't know the same people or anything like that, but your message and what you're doing just really spoke to me when I got your information, and I just am really interested to hear more about your approach to challenges and how things, obviously, you weren't expecting where you are today. And so I'm interested to get into it and just talk a little bit about that. But let's hear more about you and your story. How did you get to where you are?
Well, there's about 1,000 different ways I could take that question. But focusing on the most recent parts of my life, the big focus of my life right now is running a nonprofit organization that I founded after I found out my son has a rare genetic condition that is causing him to slowly lose his vision. And he's expected to become blind by a teenager. So we took that kind of pain and hard news and turned it into action in the form of our nonprofit. And we're supporting a real clinical trial that could cure his condition and thousands of kids like him. So that's the big picture of my life's work and mission right now. And there's about a million other ways we could dig in deeper, but that's the super quick version.
Yeah, let's dig in a little bit deeper. But before we get into that, how old is he now?
He is 10 years old. He's a super cool 10-year-old boy.
We have a 10-year-old too. She's a daughter, but I can imagine. And when was the diagnosis? So how long have you known and been working on this?
So we've known about it in the 2 to 3 year range now. So we've known about it for a little while, but it did take some time to process getting that diagnosis, really let it sink in and let the magnitude of that hit before we actually took action in the form of starting the nonprofit and really actively fundraising for this clinical trial. But yeah, we're a couple of years now of knowing about it.
Yeah. Well, okay. So I'll bring you in on the connection and why it spoke so heavily to me. So unfortunately, we lost my father-in-law to melanoma. It's been about 13 years now. Yeah, it's April of 2011 when we lost him. And this will probably come out right about April of 2024. And unfortunately, it was a really sudden thing for us. We were not expecting it. But the one thing we did do as a family was something similar. We ended up doing a golf tournament for 5 years after his passing to raise money for melanoma awareness. And we would have skin cancer screenings there. We actually caught a melanoma at one of the golf tournament events. So that was just one of the biggest things for us. We were so just like even these little things, these little touch points. So what you're doing, I think, is just so amazing because it's going to help so many people. I'm even getting emotional right now, that you just don't even know, like people that you will have never met, that what you are doing is going to have an impact on their life. So that is one of the reasons I wanted to have you on the show. I'm seriously losing it over here. You're going to see it on YouTube.
Oh, no, that's the passion coming out. That's so good. That's what drives you. You got to let that, you gotta feel that.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. And we ended up raising, which for us was a lot of money. We raised about $100,000 over the course of 5 years, which I thought we were very proud of. And he was at the University of Iowa, and they actually just got approved for a new clinical study based on a lot of the research. He was in clinical studies as well it was only about 3 months really that he was diagnosed with the stage four. And so he was in some clinical studies. And so some of the work, we feel like some of the work he did and some of the money we raised that went to that program really helped get them into this new trial, which I think is going to then save a lot more lives, hopefully, and really progress that there. So I just wanted to say thank you. I know they're completely different diseases and completely different things, but what you are doing is going to impact a family somewhere along the way, or more, obviously more than one. And so just thank you for what you're doing. I think that's so wonderful. So I'm really happy to have you.
Thank you. And likewise, it's so amazing that it's really the power of the collective good is what you're talking about and what we're all about, which is like individually, like our individual dollar or our individual donation isn't singularly going to make that difference, but it's that collective good. It's the power of many people coming together for one thing. And then when there's multiple people or multiple groups and multiple organizations all coming together for these things, you can make such a big difference. So like your organization was obviously a part of that. All these golf tournaments, all the money you raised, that came together with other people who were doing the same thing. And then here you go. There's a clinical trial happening that could save a ton of people. So it's the power of the collective good is amazing and a powerful thing.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's wonderful. So let's get into the story. So I don't want to necessarily dive too deep unless you would like to. You're welcome to go as far as you want to into what was it like to get that news. But what I think is so powerful is how did you then, obviously there is the moment, the shock, the grief, you go through all of that. How did you then decide like, okay, well, this is the hand we've been dealt and let's try to make it positive. Let's try to do something good with it. So, and tell us a little bit about what you did once you got that diagnosis and the good you decided to do. And I think let's go along the path of like how you guys traveled as a family. I think that is, let's start there and then we'll get into the nonprofit and all of that kind of stuff.
Yeah, for sure. So I'd say right when we got the diagnosis, we were definitely in that very typical pattern of grief, that the process that you go through with getting bad news and how you go through that process of the pain, the suffering, the denial, and you start to slowly accept it and then start to wanting to take action to come through it. And ultimately, the way we were thinking about it is really there's only two choices here that we have, which is one, we can do nothing and let this happen and let this define us in a negative way, which is certainly one or very real option that could be easily taken, especially since we are told there's no treatments, there's nothing you can do about it. This is just going to happen and we're sorry. So that was one choice. The other choice is, well, we can try to turn this into a positive, both in helping him and us as a family learn from the adversity. Like you can take adversity and turn it into a positive thing. Like you can go through traumas in life and have those turn into positive outcomes and let yourself become stronger, more capable, and see the world in a different way. And also in the sense of wanting to do something about it and trying to make a cure, find hope. And that's the kind of more the take action part of it, in that we started the nonprofit and are doing what we're doing to support a cure. So the real takeaway is that you decide how you react to these things. Like, and it's ultimately your choice how you respond to them, no matter how hard and how horrible it is. Like you can take control of that situation by your response to it. And that's a very powerful feeling.
Yeah. Yeah. Taking back that control. Let's take a break. And when we come back, Stephen's going to tell us what it was like to pack up his life and travel in a van. Do you think it was really that hard for him? I don't know. We'll find out when we come back. You know how life doesn't stick to a schedule? Well, why should your paycheck? That's where EarnIn comes in. It's an app that lets you access the money you've earned right when you need it, not just on payday. Imagine this, your dog suddenly needs a vet, or your kid has a little accident and needs a dentist, ASAP. We've been there, and waiting for your payday in those situations just doesn't make sense, and it adds unnecessary stress. With EarnIn, you can pull up to $100 per day or up to $750 each pay period directly from your earnings without the crazy fees or interest rates. It's super simple. Download the EarnIn app, verify your paycheck, and get access to your earnings as you earn them. You decide what to tip, and whatever you use gets settled on your next payday. More than 3.5 million users are finding relief and a sense of security with EarnIn, calling it a lifeline for financial stability. That peace of mind, it's priceless, and it could be yours. Ready to give it a try? Download EarnIn today, spelled E-A-R-N-I-N, in the Google Play or Apple App Store. When you download the EarnIn app, type in Clutter under podcast when you sign up. It'll really help out the show. That's Clutter under podcast. EarnIn is a financial technology company, not a bank. Subject to your available earnings, daily max, pay period max, and location. See earnin.com/TOS for details. Bank products are issued by Evolve Bank and Trust, member FDIC. This podcast is supported by Active Skin Repair, a skin health company helping people heal with natural, non-toxic, medical-grade ingredients. We've been using Active Skin Repair for a few months now, and I am seriously impressed. They use a molecule called hypochlorous acid, which is pretty much a superhero in skincare. It mimics your body's own immune response, helping to cleanse, soothe, and reduce inflammation to support the natural healing process. And let me tell you, it works for more than just scraped knees. Whether it's sunburns, rashes, or even more persistent issues like eczema or acne, Active Skin Repair has got you covered. The best part? It's totally safe and non-toxic. That means it's gentle enough for every skin type, from the little ones to grandma and everyone in between, making it the go-to for everyone in the family. I scraped my knuckle the other day while doing laundry, and my first thought was to grab the Active Skin Repair because, one, it doesn't sting like other products, and two, I knew it would help me heal faster. So if you're looking for a natural, effective way to handle boo-boos, check out Active Skin Repair. And because you're a listener, you can get 20% off your order. Visit activeskinrepair.com to learn more about Active Skin Repair. And to get 20% off your order, use code CLUTTERFREE. Again, that's activeskinrepair.com and use code CLUTTERFREE to get 20% off your order. So you guys packed up, right? Tell me if I'm wrong with this. You guys packed up your family into an adventure van.
Yes.
And went to travel around to see as much as you could before your son's vision has deteriorated more. So where have you gone? First off, let's talk about where were you living before and what was it like to jump into a travel van?
Yes. So that is entirely true. So one of the things, once we started doing the nonprofit and we really wanted to take more control of our life, we knew he was actively losing his vision and his gaze literally could be numbered in terms of how many times he could really see and experience the world the way he is right now. Even he has reduced vision and some visual disabilities as we speak, of course, but he can still see fairly well. He's still very functional in terms of being able to hike and walk and play games and do things like that safely. So we really wanted to seize the moment and take advantage of that time that we did have. So his mom and I are not married. We have obviously come very close in all this process to be there for them and do everything we can for them. So we, as a giant family, all piled into multiple vans, in fact. We were in our own van, the kids and us and whatnot. But then we had my parents were there for a while. Her parents were there the whole summer. Her friend Jeff was there the whole summer with us. So we had a very big entourage of people all coming together to travel. But yeah, we hopped in an adventure van and we cruised around mostly the Pacific Northwest and the Mountain West. So we're from Arizona and it's very hot and dry here. And we've seen the area. We know what this landscape is. But we really wanted to show him something new and something different. So he would have a new set of kind of visual memories to add to his experience bank for whatever happens in the future. So seeing that whole new world of the Pacific Northwest, the greenery, the mountains, the big trees, all the different climate, the different landscapes. We really wanted to show him a wide range of things that he'd never had experienced before. So that's where we headed out. And it was just a truly amazing experience getting to see so much. And it was just once in a lifetime to be able to do that for him and us. It was just one of those lifelong memories. And we have this whole YouTube series that we documented with all of it and have all these cool videos for all the places we went. And I don't know how much people watch it or not. People do go back and watch them. But it's, for me, I go back and watch them just myself. It's such like a precious memento for me. And if I'm having a tough day or whatever, I'll just go watch one of those moments. And it's such a great experience. But yeah, we had just an amazing time on this wild and crazy adventure in this adventure van.
Oh, I love it. The adventure caravan of just having the entourage of a bunch of people there with you. That seems, yeah, just really special, like a really special time. And I just love how you harnessed the negative and turned it into something positive, right? You said, well, we're not going to let this define us. It's happening whether we want it to or not. We don't have a choice for whether it happens or not. So how can we, yeah, make this into something, a lifelong memory that all of you will be able to take with you forever? And yeah. So what was one of your favorite places that you got to see on that trip?
You know, there's so many. It's very hard to choose. But if I had to forcibly pick one, I loved the state of Montana. I thought Montana was just an amazing place. Now, granted, I saw it in the summer months when it's nice weather and spring. So send me back there in December when it's minus 30 and I might feel differently. But it was just an amazing state. It just had the landscape, the openness, the climate, the fresh air, the water, the rivers, the mountains, everything was amazing. So it was just such a cool state. And I was a big fan of Montana.
Nice. All right. What about your son's favorite? Do you know?
Yes. So he loved Wyoming specifically for a couple of reasons. So he follows in his grandpa's footsteps of being this little collector, this little like treasure hunter. So his grandpa has a rock business and they buy and sell these fancy amethysts and things like that. And my son loves getting into that whole collecting and whole hoarding of cool things like his grandpa does. And so one of his grandpa's friends has a fish fossil quarry in Wyoming. And we went up there and he got to go onto this quarry and actually mine the little fish fossils. And we were in there separating out all the little like sandstone layers to access all the fish fossils. And he got to find a whole bunch of them. And he just thought that was the coolest thing, getting to go through that process and pull it out of the ground. And it's like a real life treasure hunt, pulling these old fossils out of the ground. So that was his big highlight of the trip. And we also did some dinosaur dig in Wyoming as well, which was unrelated to that one. But we got to go on an active dinosaur fossil dig site and help excavate. We did pull out some bones for the first time that had been in the ground for millions of years. So that was really cool too. And he enjoyed that similarly to the fish fossil thing, just that hunting of treasure type thing. So those were his kind of two big moments and both were in Wyoming. So it was really cool.
Very cool. I guess I didn't realize we were still doing active dinosaur digs, which makes sense. But it's so interesting. I hadn't even really thought about that. That's super cool. Oh, I can imagine that would be very thrilling. Yeah, for a kid. It'd be thrilling for me. So I can imagine that was really cool for them. All right. So I want to get into, obviously, this show is Want to Be Clutter-Free. It's about letting go of the clutter in your life. And that can be physical clutter, emotional clutter, mental clutter, obstacles that are holding you back in your life. But what was it like to go from your regular everyday life to then living in a van where you only could have so much stuff? Tell us about that.
Honestly, it was really easy. I don't know any other way.
Really?
Yes. I'm a little bit of a minimalist at heart. Now, in practice, it's not always the case, but I'm a minimalist at heart, and being forced to be in a space where you're like, okay, I need one pair of pants, one shirt, one shoes, a jacket, like maybe a couple shirts, and just get down to the essentials, get down to what you need. It really wasn't that hard. And then honestly, being in a space like that, there's only so much to clean every day. There's only so much to have to worry about organizing every day versus a big house with multiple rooms and things everywhere. So in that sense, it was very easy. And then the quality of life in terms of the time that the kids were having fun and doing things and being in nature and more quality human time, the special personal moments that I think we lose a lot in regular everyday life. There was much less technology. We had phones and things, of course, and internet, but there wasn't like couch and a TV. We'd all congregate around. We'd be sitting outside a table in the morning, just hanging out, like staring at the lake and the birds and hanging out and having a great morning. There's no TV on in the background or anything like that. So things like that were just so natural to not need and not want. And you realize how positive you feel when that stuff's not front and center in front of you. Now, the real big challenge for me really was working. So I still had to do the nonprofit work and keep up on all that. I took basically a leave of absence from my day job for that trip. And I was able to put that aside for the time being, but doing the nonprofit work, I would have to dedicate out that time away from everything else, and having a space to do that or a quiet room or not feeling like I was detracting from other people, that was a little challenging. But other than that, everything was super easy. And then re-entry was very hard. We can dig into that in a second. But yeah, I think it was a very easy, natural transition, not having a lot of things and being in a small space. It just was very simple, I think.
Nice. Yeah, I was going to ask, that was my next question on, okay, so what happened when you came back to quote unquote reality and you went back to the house? Have there been, talk to us first about what that was like, and then we'll ask if there have been changes in your house.
Yeah, so it was hard coming back. So there was lots of challenges in the sense of, A, the weather sucked. We got back to Arizona and it was really hot. And I'm like, man, this sucks. So right there, you're just disappointed. You're like, oh man, I was just in this beautiful Montana a week ago and now I'm in Arizona. It's so hot. But the real challenge is more just the reentry into the obligations of life in standard home of, you got the laundry, the cleaning, all the things around, the toys, the TVs again, all the stuff.
And no, that was actually really hard to manage and navigate. My initial reaction was, can we just get rid of all of this and just, or can we go back out on the road? Can we just make a go of this? Those were the initial first responses to coming back into it. And then you slowly adjust back into that life. But there's definitely that urge almost on a daily basis that there's too much stuff. There's too many things. There's not enough of the things that made that summer travel great to want to, I just want to go back to that. So it's very hard sometimes.
Yeah. Have you then since made changes or decluttered anything in the house?
I wish I could say it was more profound, unfortunately. I'd say one of the things that's really defined the last year for me is the level of obligation that I've taken on with the nonprofit and still having to maintain a full-time regular job, because that full-time regular job actually fully supports a lot of the nonprofit stuff I do behind the scenes. It's very hard. I just have such little time outside of all of those things right now to do all that. And that's where I think I'm getting more into the mental decluttering space, where I'm really needing to do some mental decluttering of like my obligations with work, still maintaining my dad responsibilities, personal happiness, and those responsibilities to myself. I think that's really where I've gotten into that space. I've become less focused on the physical clutter in my life and more focused on the mental clutter. And that's really been my focus of my efforts and energies to try to keep organizing those mental clutters and keep that stuff as clean as possible so that I can keep doing what I need to do and be successful in all the roles that I have taken on.
Yeah. Well, I know boundaries are really important and very difficult to establish. And I know I talk about that with my mom friends all the time. What are you doing to establish some boundaries? I'd be curious to hear your take on boundaries, what boundaries you have established to help with that mental clutter in your life.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think part of it is you do have to set priorities, right? You have to determine the most mission critical things to your work life, your personal life, and your family life, and take those priorities and really make sure that those things get done and that nothing else interferes with those things. And that's really helpful for me in terms of making sure that the things that get done need to get done. And then there's other things that are you want to get done or you want to have happen, but they don't have to get done. And then you can deprioritize some of those things as it falls down that list. But understanding what you're doing and then the why you're doing it is the most important part, because with the why, you become much more motivated. You become, even when you're having hard moments of these challenges, the hardship, the tough times, if you know why you're doing it, then you definitely have a higher capacity to get through it, no matter how hard and challenging it is. And so that why part is extremely important to understand. And when you're involved in a mission that is bigger than you and more meaningful to you than anything else, then it really makes that why so simple and so easy that you can push through a lot and get a lot done.
Yes, so true and so important. And yeah, being able to have that guiding star, right? That North Star that you can always come back to and then evaluate anything that comes your way against, right? So you might have somebody that offers you a chance to do something and you can say, well, how does that fit with what my purpose is right now or what my mission is right now or where I'm, what my goal is right now? And just being able to have that evaluation. So yes, knowing what that number one priority is, yeah, is a great way to determine where you spend your effort and time.
And what you said is really important. You know, there's going to be things that pop up along the way and you have to be able to do these quick evaluations and audits. Is this going to help me achieve these most important things in my life? Is it going to help me achieve my nonprofit mission? Is it going to help me give me a better family balance and my time with my kids? Is it going to make me personally happier in some way? If it doesn't achieve those things, then you can quickly and confidently say, no, this is not something I want to pursue or be a part of. And then you can feel okay saying it, because saying no can be hard, right? When these opportunities or things pop up. So having that kind of guiding principles and priorities, it really helps you make good decisions that will be healthy for you in the long run. I call it the bright, shiny object thing. There's always going to be these bright, shiny objects that pop up along the way. Oh, there's this new opportunity here, or I could go be doing this here, or this, take your pick. And those bright, shiny objects can really quickly deter you from, you know, your goals and achieving what you need to do. And they can really detract from other parts of your life if you're not careful and not following that kind of core principles of what you really want to achieve and what matters to you the most.
I struggle with that a lot. I'm a starter, so I love new ideas and new things, and I just love the rush, the high you get from doing something new. I know not everybody's a starter, but it is my jam. I love it. But I've really been committing to following through of maybe I don't make it to 100% of checking off all the little boxes, but if I could get to 80, 90%, that's where I'm at. But yeah, that one's a struggle for me. So thanks for bringing that up. And I have a very small vision board of just reminding myself of keeping things simple, because I can overcomplicate everything in my life so easily because I hate saying no, and it's so hard for me, but it is definitely something I am working on. So thank you for that reminder.
Well, it's one that we all need to. It's not I'm some pro at it, but I try to follow my own rules best I can. But no, it's very hard to say no. Hey, you don't want to let people down. You don't want to miss out on some important thing that you could be a part of or any of the above. So, I mean, learning how to say no and just being like, no, thank you so much. It doesn't fit for me right now. I appreciate it. That's okay to say. Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, I have done that in the last week. I'm very proud of myself. Let's take a break. And when we come back, Stephen is going to talk through what it is like to be vulnerable and strong for your kids at the same time. The lessons here are so amazing. Please make sure you do not miss them.
Hey, are you a parent of a teenager? Are you feeling overwhelmed about how to be what they need while also holding limits and boundaries that keep them safe? Are you tired of conversations that negate how messy this season of parenting is? Well, I've got you. My name is Casey O'Rourke. I am a positive discipline trainer, parent coach, and the host of the Joyful Courage podcast. Every week, I come to you with an interview, digging into tough topics with experts I trust and solo shows that go deep into the personal growth and mindset needed to raise teens in a way that grows them into confident, capable young people. I am not afraid of getting real about the intersection of conscious parenting and the teen years, while also bringing in vulnerability, humor, and lightness. I'm walking the path with you and honored to serve. Listen to Joyful Courage on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you consume podcasts.
Hello, you sentient ball of stardust. My name is Casey Davis. I'm a therapist, and I'm an author of the book, How to Keep House While Drowning, where I talk about ways to make it a little bit easier to take care of yourself when you're overwhelmed, stressed, have mental health issues, physical health issues, or maybe you're just in a hard season of life. Maybe you're looking for a place that you can come and listen to some practical advice. This is a podcast for all of the self-help rejects. We're going to talk about skills for survival and self-kindness. And I'm going to leave the pop psychology at the door. I promise not to tell you to meditate or to journal. We're just going to give you some really insightful conversations with hopefully some practical advice. So I don't believe you need to pick yourself up by the bootstraps. I don't want you to just try harder, and I don't believe that laziness exists. So join me over on Struggle Care, where we can find compassionate solutions that help us function a little bit better.
Okay, let's talk about the example you are setting for your children, which I think is super important. I am a big proponent of modeling what we want to see in the world around us, and especially in our families, because we are their role model, right? We're the person they're going to emulate the most in both the things we love about ourselves and the things we would love to change about ourselves. So how do you balance this moment of being strong and moving forward, but also being vulnerable and giving in to having that moment of grief? How do you balance that with your kids?
Yeah, trying to be authentic and age appropriate as much as possible. I think it's a disservice to your kids to not let them see you have hard times and have hard emotions, because they obviously learn from us and they model what we do. So if they never see us processing tough emotions, how can we expect them to learn how to process their own tough emotions that we know that they will inevitably have? It's not like they're going to grow up and have a problem-free life. That's not true. That's doing them a disservice. So we have to, just like you teach them to read and write and hopefully teach them how to manage money and be healthy and exercise and all these things, you got to teach them how to manage problems and stress and challenges. And so we have to let them see us so we can model that for them. In those moments, I think it's okay to use it as a teaching moment to be like, hey, I'm having a hard day. Here's what I'm doing to try to manage the stress that I'm feeling. And if you ever find yourself in a tough moment, like, why don't you try this? And maybe you can try some of these things. And then if they're in a tough moment, you can go, hey, remember that I was having a bad day last week and I told you I was having a hard time and those were the things I did. And since you're having a hard day, why don't you try to do these things? And then they can go, okay, I saw Dad do this. He told me this and I'm going to try this. And then you can see what works and what didn't. And everybody's going to have different things that work for them. And obviously the age difference is going to do some different things that you should try and do. But at the end of the day, I think letting them see that and then using those moments as teaching opportunities is really important to help them start to learn how to process their feelings and emotions, because otherwise they just won't learn. And then they're going to become an adult and then they're going to have to learn on their own at that point, which nobody wants to do that. You know, learning for the first time when you're in your teens or your 20s or later, when these hard things happen to you.
Yeah. Makes it much harder because then you feel like a failure, right? You feel like, why don't I know how to do this? I should know how to do this. And oftentimes we'll talk to ourselves with those shame words of should and so yeah, for sure. I wholeheartedly agree. And that's often how I tell people to teach your family how to declutter and how to get them on board. You can't ask somebody to do something you are not at least willing to try yourself. I don't think anybody needs to be an expert to be a teacher. I think you can also teach through the struggles and through the process of learning as well. And so I think if we look at it from that point of view of like, hey, I'm human too, and we're definitely going through this at the same time, I think that actually makes you seem stronger to your kids than trying to act like you have it all together. Because I do think, like you said, you do them a disservice later in life when they think, why am I struggling so hard? My mom, dad always had it together. They always knew what they were doing. And the secret of adulthood is nobody actually knows what they're doing. We're all just trying to do the best we can.
Really, yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, but I absolutely love that. Well, tell us more about your nonprofit and what's going on with the research there.
Yeah, so you obviously know why I started it. Obviously, a very important personal mission behind the origin of the nonprofit. But we've been in operation for a little over a year now, and it's been just a wild year of learning, ups and downs, challenges, hardships, and lots of successes. We've done very well on a couple fronts, certainly one of which is that we have aligned ourselves with a research team who have a real therapy that is based off of a similar FDA-approved therapy for a different cause of childhood blindness that was approved a handful of years ago. And they've developed a therapy that is essentially using the same technology. And it has been completed in animal models, shown to be very effective. It's been reviewed by a lot of really well-respected physicians. So the basic science of it is very promising. It could have a very high chance of saving my son's eyesight and the kids who have his same condition. The hurdle is money. And that's the sad part and the, I guess, the opportunity. It's sad that there's only one thing standing in the way of this cure, and that's money. And we've known about this therapy for the better part of a year now, essentially since we started the nonprofit and we started getting out there. And we still haven't been able to push it across the finish line of getting into a human clinical trial because the lack of funding. And especially frustrating when you see all the ways that we spend money as a society and as a country and all these things. There's just no shortage of the word billions flying around and we're only asking for a few million. So that's challenging, but that's our motivating goal, is to find those funds, get to that power of the collective good, and get enough people who all believe in this one cause that they feel like they can make a difference by being a part of, and get the power of the collective good behind this and fund it that way. So that's become our mission of being these fundraisers and advocates for this rare disease that not a lot of other people even know about or are advocating for.
First off, love the mission, love what you're doing. And yes, I know how frustrating that is. I commend you on your stick-to-itiveness, continuing to push forward and raising the awareness and raising the money. So what is the name of the charity? How can people support you?
So it's called A Race Against Blindness. The name is dual meaning in the sense of we are quite literally racing against time. We are racing against this impending blindness that my son has. And we also, as a family and kind of as an awareness and nonprofit thing, we actually took on racing as a part of our awareness and fundraising efforts, which is also a good teaching opportunity for the kids. But Luke's mom has done 4 Ironmans. I've done 1 half Ironman, but we've definitely taken that on as an additional piece of our story. And we have some racing events planned for this year that we're going to be a part of. We're working on being a part of some of the local bike races here in Arizona, because it's just a really good synonymous term of, and that community is very built on hardship and overcoming challenges. And when you start to get involved in that type of community, you realize a lot of people are there who have similar stories of adversity, overcoming, and coming through on the other side with this success. And so it's just a really great community of people who are all like-minded in that same way. But so A Race Against Blindness, we are certainly in all the usual places that you can find people these days. We have our website, araceagainstblindness.org. We are quite active on social media, both in promoting our fundraisers that we're always doing and also sharing our story and research updates and bits about us as a family. We each personally have public accounts where I share some dad stuff and she shares some mom stuff and things like that. So we're in a little bit of all the places. If you're so interested in connecting with us, we'd love to connect with anybody who's inspired by anything we're doing.
Yeah, very cool. Very cool. Any races coming to Southern California?
Good question. I'm not personally aware of any right now, but there are a whole bunch of them out there. So I don't know if we have one. I don't think we personally have any plan that we're a part of, but we're always looking to get involved in different like community events and letting other people run these races and raise money as a sponsorship thing. So that's a way that people can get involved. We've had people reach out, hey, I'm going to do this marathon. Can I raise money for your charity by running this marathon and tell my friends and family and stuff about it? And people do some pretty successful fundraising events like that. So there's always ways that kind of people individually who are doing these kind of events can try to turn them into fundraiser opportunities.
Good to know. It's not a world that I am super immersed in. So it's interesting to hear the different ways people can get involved. So that's very cool. But yeah, definitely check out the website and the socials. I have definitely been on your socials following you as well. And you've done some really cool things on there. You've given away an adventure van and all sorts of really fun things. So yeah, definitely check it out.
Yes. Yeah. So we're heavy in the doubling down on our fundraising efforts. Like I said, money is the thing that's in our way of making this happen, and time is of the essence. And so we've really come at this year with the mindset of we're gonna make this happen, or we're just gonna fail trying, and we're not failing. So we're on the path of succeeding at all costs. So we've really gotten aggressive with all these fundraisers, and like you mentioned, we do these giveaway fundraisers where we give away something cool and you can enter to win. It's kind of like a raffle, but it's a giveaway, but it's really cool. So it's a great way for us to raise awareness for something that people wouldn't have otherwise heard about, and people get an opportunity to win something cool and in the process support a good cause. So it's really a win-win. It feels good. It's a way to bring something fun and exciting to an otherwise not so fun topic. And so we try to balance that too, though, by this is very serious what we're doing, but we're going to keep a positive mindset about it, and we're going to have fun while we're doing it with these fundraisers that we're doing. So we gave away an adventure van January 1st. We have another adventure van giveaway going right now that'll run through May 31st. We're going to give away a Shelby GT500 that my son picked out. He chose this fundraiser. So we're giving away a super cool sports car. We have another one picked out for the month after that. We're literally launching a new fundraiser every single month this year. So we are going hard and fast in the fundraising realm, and we are stopping at nothing until this clinical trial is funded. So there's going to be something in it for everybody who wants to get involved in some type of fundraiser for this. And the barrier to get involved is really low. It's $25, and most of our prizes are $100,000 or more. So it's really just a cool way to support something important, and you can literally come home with a prize. The guy who won our adventure van on January 1st is 21 years old.
He was so cute.
He's just this sweet, amazing young man who just, he had his head so on straight. I was so blown away by like how responsible he was and how like level-headed he was at that age. And he actually appreciated the moment. Like he was like, wow, this is like changing my life. I literally just want $250,000 van, and I'm going to get to go travel and live out my dreams as a 21-year-old kid. And I'm going to have no expenses for it. I'm going to just drive, pay insurance and gas. I'm like, and that's it. He basically has his housing covered, and he's out there just living the dream right now. That would be so easy to get lost on somebody. They'd be like, oh, this is cool. I just won this cool thing. And then they keep going about life and not really appreciate what just happened to them. And he really did. So that was just this really amazing, heartwarming moment for us to see that the work that we were doing actually was impacting him in that way too. We thought we were raising money for our nonprofit, but we were actually doing good for him too in this, like, in this fundraiser, and impacted his life too. So it's just really, it's a special thing, and we're really excited to see how the rest of these giveaways go. But yeah, there's going to be lots of fun stuff. And so check out our website, stay up to date. There's always going to be things coming available and going on there, lots of ways to get involved. So yeah, it's a crazy process.
Very cool. What is maybe one of the biggest surprises on your journey so far?
Some of the biggest surprises, how hard it is. You know, it's going to be hard when you go out there to, like, I'm going to raise money and I'm going to do all this. But, and we don't talk about this a whole lot. We don't publicize it. The number of no's you get in comparison to the number of yeses is exponential. If you are out there doing something hard, and especially if you're in the nonprofit world, trying to raise money, do all this stuff, you are going to get a whole lot of no's, and do not be discouraged by it. There is just going to be invariably people, and they're going to say no nicely. You know, they're going to be like, wow, I really wish we could help you, but for whatever reason or not, they don't want to, or they can't. And you'll get some frustrating no's. Like, we've tried to partner with corporations and big entities and stuff like that on paper seem very natural way to have a big partner and have something involved. And they stubbornly and frustratingly don't want anything to do with it. They don't see it as, like, fitting with their corporate brand and all these things. And you're like, this is really frustrating and really sad, but I'm not going to take this and quit. I'm going to persevere and get through. And you do meet amazing people on the way, people that are just willing to do whatever they can and help you in all these amazing ways. And there's been plenty of those people on the way. And those are the people that keep you going and really get you motivated. And then the individual donors who will throw in the $10, the $25, man, it's so heartwarming every time one of those comes in. And it's just like, there's good people in the world. There's all this stuff out there, but it's hard, and you have to fight, and you have to keep with it and not give up and never let anything get in the way of your dreams, whatever those dreams are.
Well, thank you for sharing that moment of vulnerability and just realism and just, yeah, telling people that it's not always easy. Because I do think, especially in the world that we live in right now, the modern world of social media, where we don't put that hard stuff out, we put the good stuff, right? Because again, we want to be positive. And I fall prey to this too. You want to be positive. You want people to be on board. And just knowing that it isn't always as easy as it looks, but at the end of the day, it is totally worth it to push through those hard moments and focus on the positive and focus on the good and know that you are, right, tapping into that why and then having that bigger meaning, so that when you get those no's, you can say, okay, but the reason I'm doing it is because of this. And so, yeah, thank you for sharing that. I really appreciate it.
Yes. Yeah. I think the reality is, like, at least in my case, is that I don't want to be seen as complaining or asking for pity or any of those things. So I'm not going to talk about those moments on a daily basis. Hey, I just pitched XYZ corporation and they were kind of a jerk and said no. It's like, okay, you know, that doesn't help anybody. But if I did that every day, like, you guys would just think I'm complaining, right? So that's not how I want to perceive myself. But then it can also easily come across as, if you're following us long enough, wow, they're just posting all the cool things and all the positive moments and all the successes they've had. And so you didn't see the 1,000 no emails that I got and the 1,000 no emails that I had to for the 3 yeses that got posted. So that's the reality is. So I don't want to sugarcoat it and let people think that it's just easy to go out and do something like this, because it's not. It's very hard, and you got to take risks and overcome challenges. But it is, like you said, entirely worth it. And if you have a dream and a mission and something you believe in, then you just don't let those no's faze you. Let them drive you and motivate you, and you will get to a good place and succeed.
Awesome. Well, Stephen, my favorite way to end every episode is with 3 rapid fire questions. I will do my best to keep them quick because I'm generally the one that messes up the rapid fire part, but we'll get there. What does clutter-free mean to you?
The ability to be laser focused on the things that are most important to you.
Ooh, that's a good one. I like that. The laser focus. I haven't heard that before. Love it. Number 2, what's making you happy right now or in this season of life?
Knowing that I am doing something that's bigger than myself, because that hasn't always been the case of my life, but knowing that I am working on something so big and so important really is making me happy right now.
Very cool. And number 3, what's a goal you have for yourself this year?
Raise $1 million for A Race Against Blindness and for Bardet-Biedl syndrome, and retinitis pigmentosa. That's it.
Oh my God, I love it. That is great. That is a big goal, and I love it. So, well, I wish you all the best. Thank you for coming on the show, for sharing your journey, for being vulnerable, for letting us know about this disease and your nonprofit that's trying to make a big difference. And so, yeah, we'll definitely have links in the show notes for anybody that's interested to enter these giveaways or just donate to the cause. So thanks for coming on.
Thank you so much for having me. It was great talking to you. And I appreciate what you're doing by giving this amazing opportunity to let people learn from you and your guests. This is just really special. So thank you for the opportunity to be here.
You are welcome. All right. Have a great day.
Okay, thank you.
All right. Well, thank you so much for joining me on today's episode. Clearly, at the beginning of this, you could see that this is something that is near and dear to my heart. I do not know actually anybody with the disease that his son has. However, I know what it is like to be facing a medical challenge with a family member and know that there are avenues available to you, and the one thing standing in your way is money. So I totally get his plight and what he is doing, and I commend him so much for how he is tackling this problem and this challenge that is in front of him. And if you are interested in getting involved or donating or jumping on one of these amazing giveaways that they have going on, please go ahead and do so. I will have links to his organization in the show notes. So just click on through and you can find out more information there. Follow them on social media. They do a great job over there as well. And I would love to know your thoughts on this episode. Is there anything that stuck out for you the most? What did you think about being vulnerable and strong at the same time, or other lessons that he has learned along the way? Please come on over and share your thoughts with me. You can find me, like I said, on Instagram or Facebook, Wanna Be Clutter Free on the social channels, or the Wanna Be Minimalist Family Group on Facebook. You can find me there as well. And if you are so inclined, go ahead and leave a review on Apple Podcasts, a comment on this episode on Spotify, or a comment over on YouTube, where you will be able to find these guest episodes as well. And if you know anybody in this medical space or anybody that would be interested in having a conversation with Stephen, go ahead and reach out to him as well. He is on board. He's really on that mission to raise $1 million this year, and getting the word out is one of the best ways to do that. So feel free to reach out to him as well. Remember, you can get all of those detailed show notes and the links for everything Stephen is doing by going over to wannabeclutterfree.com/202. Again, that's wannabeclutterfree.com/202 to find out more about Stephen and his Race Against Blindness organization. And as always, thank you so much for joining me today. With that, I hope you have an amazing rest of your day, and I'll see you back here next week for a solo show. Until next time, take care, keep things simple, use positivity, and challenge yourself to get over all of those hurdles that are laid out before you. Remember, I believe in you. I know you can do it. I know you can persevere a little by little, every day at a time. I'll see you on the other side. I'm Deanna Yates, and you've been listening to Wanna Be Clutter Free. I'll see you next week. Cheers.
Hello, you sentient ball of stardust. My name is Casey Davis. I'm a therapist, and I'm an author of the book, How to Keep House While Drowning, where I talk about ways to make it a little bit easier to take care of yourself when you're overwhelmed, stressed, have mental health issues, physical health issues, or maybe you're just in a hard season of life. Maybe you're looking for a place that you can come and listen to some practical advice. This is a podcast for all of the self-help rejects. We're going to talk about skills for survival and self-kindness. And I'm going to leave the pop psychology at the door. I promise not to tell you to meditate or to journal. We're just going to give you some really insightful conversations with hopefully some practical advice. So I don't believe you need to pick yourself up by the bootstraps. I don't want you to just try harder. And I don't believe that laziness exists. So join me over on Struggle Care, where we can find compassionate solutions that help us function a little bit better.